I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, now being joined by Jim Duquette, MLB Network Radio on Sirius XM, baseball analyst, and on SNY locally in New York, former executive with both the Mets and the Baltimore Orioles. Hey, Jim, Taz of the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning. How you doing, bud?
Jim, what's up, man?
How are you guys?
We're doing well. We're doing well. I'm ready for the second half of the year, Jim. You know, it was a good, good couple days out there, for baseball out in Cleveland, Ohio. However, the one criticism I would have of the commissioner Manfred would be this: would be the fact of the home run rate and defending the baseballs to an extent. I mean, he's had the home run rate's gone up now for 2 years, and they've had a couple years now to figure it out and kind of throwing the hands up and being like, "Well, we're still trying to figure it out." As you're going to have 54 guys that are on pace to hit 30 or more home runs this year. I mean, it's an astronomical rate this season.
It is. He was a little bit on the defensive. I think I like most of what the commissioner has done, and I think in this one it got a little ahead of him. I think they tried to address it a little bit last year, but it seemed like they were more reactive on this particular issue once they got the All-Star game and Verlander comes out and says it's a joke and threw in an expletive on top of that, which gets everyone's attention, and then. He's the best pitcher in the sport. So I think that, a little bit on that side of it, they're being a little bit reactive. But, I have confidence. First off, I believe that they weren't intending to do this. None of the owners who he works for want this type of brand of baseball, at least from what I can tell. I didn't talk to all 30 of them, but I do have a feel from the general managers that they don't want it, and, consequently the owners don't either. So it's like, it's the old proverbial genie's out of the bottle. How do you bring it back? And I'm as fascinated on. Like, all right, when you're evaluating these guys, and you just mentioned it, Moose, how many guys are going to be 30-plus home run guys this year? Well, are we going to go back to, 5 years ago when we had, one guy hit 40 home runs and, and very few hitting 30? Like, where is the balance? How do you respond or how do you react to it? There's clearly there's an issue, but then it's like, all right, how do you address it?
Right. No, Jim, well said, man. And let me ask you, what do you make of the whole conversation about juiced baseballs and stuff like that? What's your stance on that and your thoughts and opinions?
I don't think that Major League Baseball did it on purpose. I think personally, they might have made, they talked about making an adjustment to it, lowering the seams, the latest study I saw, they took the pill, center core of it, and they centered it up more. Sometimes when you make adjustments, there's that unintended consequence, right, where you're like, oh, man, it went too far. This issue of the way the ball feels, though, we've heard a couple Mets pitchers say it, Syndergaard and Wheeler in particular, it's not really a new issue. Like, I think it was 3 years ago in the postseason, Verlander, the pitching coach, Brent Strom, we were sitting there in a postseason game, and they basically grabbed the in-season ball, postseason ball, put them next to each other. I was with them. I was there with Mike Stanton, the former Yankee pitcher, and we kind of felt the same. It was a different feel, like a sheen on the ball, and it was slicker, So I feel like that was the start of this. I don't know for sure, but that's when I first remember going, wow, all right, there's a different – and listen, there are times when the pitchers complain about the balls a lot, but that was the one that kind of stood out to me.
Wow.
All right, Jim, July 31st, one singular trade deadline here for baseball. You're former GM Mets and Baltimore Orioles. How does that change the trading landscape here?
You know what? I think that under normal years, it would you'd see a lot more aggressiveness and – you're going to see a lot of aggressiveness. Don't get me wrong. You're going to see plenty of teams go, all right, well, I can't fall back and wait till August. I don't have that ability any longer. I had one general manager, Jerry DePoto with Seattle, suggest that you'll see a lot more trades and a team will go get an extra player or two because, it does impact your depth on your roster. if you can't make a deal in August, and they would bring in a guy at the expense of maybe a young guy that was producing to option that young player to the minor leagues, and that way you'd be able to bring him back up in 30 days. You kind of bite the bullet. So I'm kind of curious on that front. I'd say almost always the trade deadline's about supply and demand, and the supply is a lot, at least right now, a lot smaller than we're used to having. There's so many different teams, 20 different teams. You heard that from Manfred, but legit, like if I'm a GM and I'm sitting there 5 games out or 4 games out, I can't pull the plug on my team. I gotta wait a couple more weeks and see if, I go on a little bit of a streak or if I go on a losing streak, and then that decision is a little bit clearer. So I think that's going to muddy up the trade market a little bit.
Hey, Jim, let me ask you. I'm a Met fan here, unfortunately, right?
I feel your pain.
I hear you. So, in that organization very well. So let's say hypothetically, boom, you're the GM. What do you do right now with Noah, with Syndergaard? Like, how would you handle that, the whole situation with him?
So I think Noah has to get himself back on track and pitch in the way he's capable. I think you can dangle him and make him available to trade, which I think would be the prudent thing to do, and they probably will do that. But at the end of the day, if you're an opposing GM, you're trying to buy low on Noah Syndergaard, and you're not going to offer full freight, full price, which is what the Mets need to be able to move a guy like Syndergaard. So I think that the intention might be to move him. And certainly you're going to hear his name mentioned a lot. But at the end of the day, when he starts pitching better, which I believe he will.
Me too.
I think it's going to probably end up being like after the deadline that's going to happen. And so therefore, it might be a winter trade. If they decide they want to trade him, which again is a hard thing to do, but I think it might be something that we'd look at more this winter.
Jim, competitive balance here. Garrett Cole was critical of it. Now a member of the Astros, we know they tore it down basically to the studs before they rebuilt it, and they were god awful. We're at a lot to what the Orioles are really bad, the Tigers are really bad, the Royals are really bad. What about competitive balance here? The differentiation between the haves and the have-nots. I mean, Taz and I, we kicked off the program, and we basically three teams. I mean, right now, if you're a betting man, it's Dodgers, Astros, or Yankees. One of those three teams is probably going to win the World Series this year. Is that good for baseball?
Yeah, I don't like the haves and the have-nots. I know the commissioner felt better about postseason odds and postseason chances for a lot of guys, a lot of teams in the National League. And for me, it is true. The problem, you're playing for the wild card. You're playing for the one game play-in, and you're gonna have a couple of those teams that are only a couple games out, selling a couple of their players rather than adding to it. So, because one, they don't want to play for that one game play-in, and secondly, they don't feel like they can compete with those three super teams. So, I think that does have ramifications. I've not been a fan of this, tanking. I know they hate the word tanking, but it is what it is.
It's
tanking because it affects the brand. When you go watch, do many people want to go out and watch an Orioles, a Jays game right now?
Why would you? Right.
Combine like 800 games under 500.
That team's trying to lose. You're a season.
Right.
You're a season ticket holder. You're a season ticket holder, and then these guys are trying to lose. That sucks.
I'd be ticked. And I think they've been impacted terribly. Both organizations on the ticket side. But they kind of going into this had already done it. And if you have a couple teams that do it, then I guess that's not that big of a deal. But we've had several teams. I mean, it's in the American League, there's at least five teams at least that are in that, and you probably look at the Marlins and the Giants, and so seven teams out of 30 are in that kind of tanking mode, and I don't like it from the competitive balance side.
I asked you a question earlier about with the Mets with Noah. I'm going to ask you now about the Yankees. You think they pull the trigger? Do you think the Yankees pull the trigger for Bumgarner?
I think they pull the trigger on somebody like that. If it's not him, it's Stroman. I don't think Trevor Bauer is going to be available. I know Max Scherzer is definitely not. So some of those, they're going to make a run at Zach Wheeler. Although I'm skeptical that they would make a deal, those two franchises like that. But I think that's the that's the type of pitcher that they're going to go for. I mean, basically, Brian Cashman, what was it, 2 weeks ago, set that expectation level. And we usually he's deferring and kind of, you know, deflecting that expectation. So I feel like he created that expectation, and that's where I expect them to go. So I do think they're going to be, making a deal for that type of pitcher.
And Jimmy, if you had to pick one of the guys that we know that's available, because the Yankees have had a hard time finding that answer, October answer, of those guys that are available, I know price does come into play and what it's going to cost you.
Yep.
Which guy do you think proves to be the October solution? Which guy would you be most comfortable with?
Well, if Madison Bumgarner is pitching the way he was the last, like, three starts, and he said this about, I think it was about a week and a half ago, got my attention. He said, "Listen, I'm healthy. If you tried to trade for me last year, I don't know if he said this, said, hey, if you tried to trade for me last year, but last year was, you know, he was still recovering from health issues. But this year, he says he's healthy. It's different. He feels different. The velocity is there. The breaking ball, the spin rate looks like it's there compared to, you know, a couple years ago." And then he said, I think it was against the Dodgers, he's like, I was only pitching to one side of the plate. I need to make an adjustment. He did, and I think two of his last three starts were really good. So having said all of that, that's the guy. Like, yeah. For me, it's clear he's the guy. If it's not him, then I'd say Marcus Stroman, because he can definitely, you know, he's a Long Island guy, as you guys know. So he could handle New York pretty easily, I believe. But I think one of those two guys would be, I'd pick Madison Bumgarner first, and Stroman second.
And Jim, I'll tell you this: watching that All Star game on Monday night, it was fun. It was great to see baseball actually produce a video and a commercial promoting Mike Trout.
Yeah,
I mean it's only taken 8 years, Jim. I mean, can they promote the best player in the world?
They did it. I thought they did a nice job with the All Star game. You can always do better. I think from the marketing side, they've done pretty well this year. You're right; it's been a little too slow, and from my side of it, in my opinion. But the Trout's the best player. He part of this was he didn't really want to get out there, but I've noticed this. He's been great with us on Sirius XM when we do our shows. He comes over he now expects to do those, you know, high profile interviews now. Where in the past it was kind of you weren't quite sure. And so I think he was reluctant in the past, but he realizes where he is in the game now.
Hey, Duke, we appreciate the time this morning.
We really do.
All right. You got it.
Thanks, Jim.
Have a good Thursday.
Take care,
you got it. Jim Duquette.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.